Ooh, it's getting a little sensual with the mic. So, before the start of our Rage Quit episode, I would like to tell a little bit about Rage Quit's sponsor. So, welcome to another episode of Rage Quit, the husband and wife duo that discusses video games every week. Rage Quit is sponsored by AFK Clothing Co. Are you a gamer? Do you enjoy games? Then check out AFK Clothing Co. for all of your gaming apparel needs. As I record this, I am sporting an AFK green sleeve baseball tee that I absolutely love and wear every week. We'd never be sponsored by something we didn't like. And if you'd like to support the show, head on over to AFK Clothing Co., link in the description below, and type ASI in the promo code box to get 10% off your next order. As always, just follow the bear, and now on to the show.
Like you looked at me, you waited for me to do it.
Yeah, of course. You always.
Sound like a dying squeaky toy. Squeaky toy.
That was a sad bear. The one I just did was sad.
I think mine was sadder, but yours was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All around sad. Oh,
welcome to Rage Quit.
Episode 18.
Yeah,
today we're going to talk about the PlayStation 5, and then we're going to make our three predictions for the PS5.
Yeah, it's always three. What are you in threes?
It works.
Okay.
Three-act plays, three-act narrative structure. Just three is word. It's a magic
Punching
number.
Three times.
Yeah, it's been broken three times.
No, exactly.
Can't break it again. We're good three. It's impervious now. I have a titanium Wolverine nose. Just that, though.
Just your nose.
Just my nose. Everything else.
Does it get bad? Does it like a little knife shoot out of it?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah!
I don't even know how you get that to work, like angle-wise. You guys know a lot of trigonometry.
Pelican pecking.
Yeah.
Let me give you a kiss.
I don't have beaks. Like, if we had beaks, that'd make it easier.
You're a beak.
Titanium beak.
It'd work. You get it work.
Worst superhero ever.
Titanium beak. Anyways, I'm Ariel Schultz.
I'm Anthony Schultz.
We digress. Maybe.
Often.
Not. Well, Kenter, what do you want for that PlayStation 5?
Well, before we get into predictions,
Oh, fine. Read the important thing.
The impetus to this podcast.
Afro. I forgot the word. Damn it.
You were going to say aforementioned, but it's aforementioned.
I know.
I use aforementioned regularly. I like that.
Shut up, aforementioned, man.
But anyways, I caught an article today.
Okay.
Via Critical Hit, and it was pretty much just regurgitating, like, rumors that were, I believe, gathered from like 4chan, which you always take with a grain of salt. Like, they're just rumors.
Of course.
But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was like a succinct like list of like all the rumors I've heard about the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
As of recording, which is January 21st, there hasn't been.
I forgot, what day is it? It is January 21st.
There hasn't really been any like concrete announcements about the PlayStation 5. But I think this is a pretty good list. And like I said, just I'm going to read it aloud, beat by beat. But
bear with us.
Take a look at this.
Lend me your ear.
Okay, so this info pulled from 4chan.
Can I rap in the background?
You need like a. I'll go get the DJ hero thing. It'll work out perfectly.
Yeah.
I love that game
still. PlayStation 5. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So white. So white.
Kind sir, I hate to inform you about this, but you are white.
I'm not the one trying to beat by. That's the difference.
You kind of call me out on my own shit.
Because it's funny.
I can't. Box. All right, continuing. Sorry, my bad.
Anyways, here's the succinct list. PS5 to be revealed on February 5th. PS5 will launch worldwide in October of 2020. That was funny because I think you said October in our 2020 prediction.
I told you October.
And I said November.
I told you October.
It's just rumors though. We don't know yet. There's only going to be one launch model. No pro model.
Yeah, obviously.
Specs to be almost on par with the Xbox Series X, which will be $100 more.
What?
And more power, like I said, all rumors. And more powerful than Xbox Lockhart, a console that's $100 less with 4 teraflops of compute power compared to the PS5.
What's a teraflop?
It's like a way to measure processing power.
It's more like a sad floppy disk that is
a teraflop. And it's getting to the point now where it's like, you know,
we're just making up shit now.
Is that like, because you wouldn't say like 4,000 gigaflops. See, that's right, yeah, it sounds fun. So it's just 4 teraflops.
It's not any better, but I like that.
Compared to the PS5's 10 teraflops. launch games will...
How do you judge us in teraflops?
In teraflops.
It's a sad 2 teraflops.
Yeah, well, you're like a 3.5 teraflops. Almost a 4, but not quite.
Not quite.
Maybe. That'd be great. I would love to evaluate people based on
3.5 teraflops.
Just this ambiguous like scale that is like otherwise very scientific for like computer science like nerds. But instead, we just judge people that way. Like
you're about 3.75.
Yeah, it's like just shit, dude. That guy's a 10. Like I feel like that, but not. It's in teraflops.
Teraflops. You don't know if it's bad or good.
You really don't, yeah, because the scale could be anything. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're a 0.5. You're like, oh. You know that's bad, though. See, that's like, the scale works. Launch games will include Gran Turismo 7, Demon's Souls Remastered, Godfall. Which they showed that trailer for Godfall at the VGAs. It did look good. It was just obviously a cinematic trailer, but I like stuff like that.
What?
A game called Legends with a Z.
Dun dun dun.
Which,
10 bucks is about zombies. Take bets right now. Legends with a Z. It's about zombies.
Oh, good call. I didn't think about that. I think you're right.
I doubt it. But.
And a parenthetical for that bullet point is a new IP from Sony Santa Monica Studios. Sony Santa Monica, obviously most famous for doing God of War.
Yeah, but so. I bet you zombies.
And when they were doing God of War, they were... If you guys haven't seen the God of War like documentary that's on YouTube,
which is
well worth the watch. Yeah. Really cool. You get to see kind of like behind like the... Yeah, the lens, like behind the camera, like what it looks like to make a game, like behind closed doors.
There you go.
That's
better. And then it's like, phrasing kind of sucks.
But they got knocked down to one team.
Yeah.
And there was only one team working there. The second team got axed. why they were making God of War.
Pun intended.
So, but with the success of God of War, I can picture them ramping up to 2 teams.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so they could be working on something new, which is what this rumor claims.
Zombies.
Yeah, I just there's so much zombie stuff. I mean, I like zombies, but...
It's like, really, you're going to complain about zombies? I think we have like 16 zombie games alone for the PS4.
I know.
Shut up.
Games to be teased at rumored February 5th event. Horizon Zero Dawn 2. Marvel Spider-Man sequel. New sci-fi IP from Naughty Dog. New IP from SIE, which is Sony Interactive Entertainment, Japan. New IP from Sony London Studio, which once we get into discussion, I'm going to look up what they've done. I feel like I know, but I feel like I don't. Final Fantasy 16 and a new Resident Evil.
Weevil?
Resident Weevil. Watch out, Flower.
coming for you.
That would be great. I would love a parody of Resident Evil as Resident Weevil.
It's just like Flower getting in the cabinet.
It's like a baker like trying to protect his flower from like zombified weevils. That'd
yes.
be great. Like Ratatouille style.
Yeah. No.
Backwards compatibility with all PS4 games is also a big feature. Through a new transferring feature, users will easily transfer their PS4 games to the PS5 if those games are downloaded. Save data / backups for PS4 games will also be transferable. Backwards compatibility is such a major feature that games from all 5 PlayStation platforms, PS1, PS2, PSP, I like how no Vita though. It's like,
oh, I didn't even think about that.
It makes it very like distinct, like all 5, and then it includes the PSP but not the Vita. It's like, well, for granted, the Vita didn't sell very well, but it's still a main platform of PlayStation, so it's not all of them, and they're not 5, they're 6. But
rumors, babe, rumors, calm down.
I know. PS1, PS2, PSP, PS3, and PS4 will be compatible on PS5, making it an ultimate PlayStation console. Putting an emphasis on past and present gaming. And then finally, DualShock 4 controllers, PSVR, and other PS4 accessories will be forwards compatible on the console as well, making it easy for existing PS4 users to transition to the PS5 as well.
So the momentary brain fart of what forwards compatible was.
Yeah, you can take old stuff and apply it to the new stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, the brain connected the dots, but it took a while for that to get there.
So before we get into our predictions, what do you think about that, Ariel? Like, did anything, like, stand out to you or something that you think, yeah, that's super outlandish, or you think, like, that's pretty good?
I feel like
anything at all.
The hopefulness that everything right away is going to automatically be able to port to the PS5 is kind of outlandish. As of right now.
Oh, that everything will
right,
be
right in the beginning. Like, right there is like, bam.
So that was like the penultimate bullet point.
Yeah.
Where I joked about the Vita. That the PS1, PS2, PSP, PS3, and PS4 will be compatible on PS5. Making it an ultimate PlayStation console. So you're calling like bullshit on it.
Oh, right? I'm saying bullshit for right now. I'm saying launch date. There is no way in hell that they're gonna be able to do.
Oh, so you think that's something that they'll work in?
I'm
later
not saying
down
that
the
they're
line,
not gonna like or slowly tweak roll it, stuff slowly out. Roll it. Like, okay, well, no, this can be released. Now these are being released, or you can download these now. And I think it'd be like a big announcement for it. People are like, oh shit, I wanted to play that game, and let me get out the PS5. That's so cool.
Yeah, that everything can play on it. Yeah, I agree with that. It seems a little outlandish, especially since like in this generation with the Xbox One, it can play OG Xbox games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like a select few titles.
Yeah.
Like, it's ones that they, like, curated for the Xbox One. And they kind of slowly roll them out
as
time
like
goes on.
It, most...
it wasn't like, hey, every single Xbox game that you ever had can play on this.
Well, you have to think, too, a lot of games, I feel like Sony exclusives may be released right away because Sony is the one that
makes sense, yeah. You can fuck around with the code a little bit more.
Because they're their games. They're not like
you have it.
Yeah, they're not some, like, third-party studio where they own the code. Now you got to talk to them like, hey, can we borrow this, tweak it a bit, and then put it back out there for you? You'll get some money.
Yeah, are you going to, like, is there some way you're going to entice? I'm not sure how that process works, but yeah, that makes sense. Like,
are you going to
entice, like, third-party publishers to, if they have to do anything with the code, that is, like, tweak it?
Yeah, totally.
To put it out again?
Or not even necessarily again. Like, for kind of, are they going to make it to where if you have it, it can be put out? Or are they going to make it to where...
I'm thinking how this reads and some of the other rumors I heard. It would be less, like, communicate... Like, let's just take this that it is true and that everything is backwards compatible. But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be out the gate. They wouldn't have to go back to third parties or second parties. It would be more like, it natively just plays these games. So it's like, you're kind of removing that part of it. And then in the sales end of things, like if they sell old school like PS3 games or PS2 games, that it's like, odds are they're not manufacturing any of those games. So really the you salesman.
Like PS2 or PS3 game on the PS5.
See, and the thing that, for me, that makes it seem like it's not true is that. The PS3 was notoriously hard to code for, and it was, like, it was so far ahead of its time, and it was just difficult.
Box titties.
And it was just, like, yeah, it was just, like, rough. So, and it...
It's yours, sorry.
They needed, like... Yeah, that like, chipset and how that console was designed, I feel like that... Just that right off
they're
the
just
it makes
start,
it rough.
They're going to start running into huge walls, I think, right off the bat. They're going to... I'm not saying, obviously, this is all rumor and due to...
Yeah, we're just providing our opinion on it.
Armpit?
Yep, our armpit on it.
Okay. Is that there's more nuts and bolts to it than people realize. It's not just like, I'm going to put this... Yay! Let me put my disc in and we're good to go. That's not how that's going
to
work.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to believe that it's like PS4 games will be backwards compatible just because the architecture and how close it is going to be very similar to the PS5.
Latter half PS3 games, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, because a lot of those have already been remastered, so they're on the PS4. So you can just take those versions of them and then get them running on the PS5.
So it's like there's...
I don't know about the really old stuff, though, especially the PS3.
Oh, if you think it's like the PS2 or the PS1 and stuff, it's like I can't even think of a game that I honestly would want to play. If I don't already have a PlayStation 1 that hooks up and runs and works, you just play it on that.
That's kind of a valid point. It was like, if by now you haven't, like, gone back and purchased a PS1 or a PS2.
They're dirt cheap, dude.
Gone to your folks' place and scrounged your old one up so you could play those games again.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, gone through eBay listings or something to buy one on the cheap and play it. Then odds are you probably don't want to play it again.
I mean, I like the idea of reminiscing. Oh, you know, PS1 has got these great games. And, like, oh, I like how they see the development of them. And
nostalgia is a powerful force, so.
They may pull on that string, but at the same time, I'm trying not to play Resident Evil from the PlayStation 1 on the PlayStation 5. I'm sorry. Ooh, loads faster. Oh God, what's happening?
Yeah, and some of those games are a little rough to go back to play.
Because you've done it a few times, because you've loaded up PlayStation 1, and we've played it, and I've watched you play it, I'm like...
Man. I would much rather play Resident Evil 2 Remake than I would Resident Evil 2.
That's what I mean.
Like, down by far. Like, I think Resident Evil 2 was awesome, like, at the time, but the controls and camera are super clunky, mm-hmm. Sometimes they're hard to, like, figure out what to do.
Yeah, not to be, like, a big dick, or maybe I'll wave it around anyways, is that, why are people, I get the nostalgia reason, but why do people freaking want it to be backwards compatible so goddamn much? To be fair, if you
I think it's just, like, Xbox is in a, like, interesting position because they've only had the three consoles, mm-hmm. so it's a little easier to go back to, like, the original Xbox, mm-hmm. so, like, it'd be, like, PS2 era.
Yeah.
And then, like, from there on, playing games, mm-hmm. it's a little easier to get over, like, design flaws or, like, graphical fidelity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
PS1, and that, which would have been before the Xbox was even around, and then back, a little difficult to play, to be honest. Until you get back into, which we already talked about on a earlier podcast, mm-hmm. like, pixel art mm-hmm. and cel shading and things like that. And
some games like Borderlands are always great to play because of how they're designed cel shading wise.
Yeah, so then need to discuss, you know, does the, you know, camera control, like,
work well?
Or does that still hold up to the test time? Do gameplay mechanics still mm-hmm. hold up? And if that is true along with the artwork that's just always going to be around, mm-hmm. then it's like, that works.
You know,
as a complete package. Resident Evil 2.
Not so much.
The original doesn't, you know, and that's why they're remaking them.
Well, it's like, honestly... Obviously, they're remaking a lot of those games, which makes sense, but why? Why would you honestly want to play that game on the PlayStation 5 or have that availability to?
Like, yeah, maybe... I mean, for me personally, I would rather have, like, a well-curated list of, like, remasters and remakes. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, pick the best ones and do Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3. Last of Us and Uncharted, like, came over from the mm-hmm. PS3 generation for the PS4. Mm-hmm. Like, a complete package. That was really cool.
BioShock. Yeah.
You know, I think... I personally prefer that route. I would rather shell out the extra cash and buy it again and play it on a new console than pop in, like, the original
disc,
for me, at least from that generation. Old school stuff, mm-hmm. in my opinion, yeah, if you really want to play it, you're gonna have those consoles and those games, and you can go back and play it. Like, I'll play Legend of Dragoon or old school Final Fantasy games and stuff.
Slash. Do you really think that you're gonna be able to pop in, like, a PlayStation 1 disc? Do you really think that's gonna be possible?
Well, in that kind of case, I think it is, just because, like, the PS3, you could do that. Our PS3 now, which we have just hooked up in our bedroom, is, like, kind of a, like, an optional media, like, console is what we use.
It's collecting dust in the vacuum.
We don't use it very often. It's in there if you want to watch, like, Blu-rays and stuff. You can pop a PS1 disc in there and play it.
Then why are people bitching about
it? It'll, like, load up. You can't play PS2 games, though.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, because it doesn't have an emulation chip to emulate the PS2 hardware to play it. And then the PS3 was super difficult to, like, code for because it was very experimental, mm-hmm. like, heavily R&D'd hardware. Mm-hmm. And then the PS4's architecture is more similar to, like, a modern-day mm-hmm. PC, mm-hmm. and the PS5 will be as well.
Mm.
So it's, like, the architecture of all those consoles is so different, and they handle things very differently. Like, these emulation chips will have to be, like, built into it, so that's going to up the cost of the console.
Well, if the,
like,
price,
are they trying to do it, like, in a cloud and use, like, PlayStation Now as, like, a way to circumnavigate the hardware side to it, and you can stream them technically?
That's giving me a headache.
Putting a PS2 disc into
just for nostalgia reasons.
With, like, the license. Mm-hmm. So you prove that you have the license for Black mm-hmm. on the PS2 by putting the disc in, and then you're actually streaming it from the cloud with PlayStation Now. Okay. But you're not running it off the disc, really, and so then you don't have to have the emulation chip
mm-hmm.
to play the PS2 game. Like, it depends on which way they want to do, like, and what's easier, what's feasible, what's cost-effective. There's all these different things. I think some generations would just be easier to mm-hmm. play on the PS4. I think you could probably get away with, like, or the PS5, I mean. Like, PS5 can play PS1 games and PS4 games. Yeah. I could picture that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to curate a list of PS2 games and PS3 games to try to get over
The difficulties.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you can buy, like, the original Jak and Daxter's right now on the PS4 as, like, a PS2 classic. Like,
yeah.
Redid it for it. But it's, like, a curated list. You can't get every PS2 game.
Well, that's what
and you're not proving like, that you have the license for it. You're just rebuying it again, and it's coded for the PS4, and you got it. But,
well, that's what I'm saying, too, is so, if you think about all these outlandish, weird-ass games from PlayStation 1 and 2 era.
It really wouldn't matter. Like, it's like, okay, well, there's like five people in the United States really love this game, but it's like nobody else, the rest of the world doesn't care about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, do we really need to put in that much time and effort and just get those, like, five people
on board?
But maybe there's stats that compounds, where it's, like, those five people with this niche game, yeah, that's a one-to-one, but maybe it's, like, what happens about you take into consideration all the niche games, and if there's five people to all of them
from this
huge library, maybe that's just millions of dollars just sitting on the table to them, and they could get it back, you know?
That's the tricky part, though, and it's like
Super complicated, like, for sure.
And I feel like they're gonna do their best, and honestly, probably do really well what they can backwards compatible. But at the same time, I just think people are setting this expectation up too fucking high, and it's just gonna come crashing down when they're like, I can't play the PlayStation 2 game, and start crying, you know,
getting mad about it, yeah, because it's like, oh, I want to play this obscure PS2 game, but I can only play Jak and Daxter or something, and it's like, well, Jak and Daxter sold a lot better than this random obscure
Tashi the cat game. He's fat and orange, but no, that's what I mean. It's like, I just feel like people were like setting this bar up so high for granted, they're rumors, you ain't hearing shit from PlayStation.
Yeah, not yet.
And of course PlayStation is gonna do its best to, yeah, we did this, or those were just rumors. And I feel like people obviously just play into rumors sometimes. It's gonna be disheartening when they're like, well, it's only backwards compatible, tongue-tied twist, God damn it, to this generation, or maybe these handful of games, because these are, like, the most popular, they can backwards compatible to this, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what, like, Microsoft does on that side, too, if it'll be everything, or obviously a smaller library.
You also think, too, like you were saying, too,
and
like,
they were already kind of built as PCs anyway, so it's a little easier to do than in Sony's case.
Well, you know the thing, too, like, we're talking about Xbox only have three generations.
Yeah, exactly.
And the PlayStation has from the fucking
one, two, three, four. So we weren't counting on
the handhelds.
The last one,
mm-hmm.
or the newest one that's about to come out. So yeah, like Sony has Microsoft beat by a generation, and then also two handheld generations,
exactly.
which Microsoft's never really dabbled in. So
no, I mean, like we talked before, Nintendo's on the corner on fucking handhelds. But in that case, it's like it's started way before. Like, wasn't the first Xbox come out?
It was during the PS2 generation. I want to say like 2001.
And like that was the second generation of the PlayStation already?
Yeah, because like the PS1 came out like 95. So
yeah.
It predated by like 5 years.
So 95, and then the PlayStation 2 came up, and it's like...
Because I was like junior high.
You were just a wee young lad.
Yeah, so I don't remember like the hard day. I wasn't like working in the industry or anything.
What?
So the first Xbox came out November 15th. Of 2001.
Okay.
And then for frame of reference, I'll do one from the same generation, so the PS2,
mm-hmm.
which I think was really close. So it looks like it was the year before. We're looking at October 26th of 2000. So the PS2 had already been out a year
mm-hmm.
before the original Xbox even came out. And then for frame of reference, we'll do when the PS1 came out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I mix up the...
times.
Yeah, NES, like the Japanese release dates opposed to the North American one, just because I got early PlayStation consoles later.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until the PS3 that I really got it, like, day one I had it.
Yeah, it won't make sense. You were working by then.
So that was the 9th of September of 95, the very first PlayStation came out.
Yeah, but you think...
So, yeah, so they beat the original Xbox by, like 6 years.
Yeah, like, 6 years already in under their belt.
They were competing with Sega, really, at that point.
That's what I mean.
Because Microsoft didn't... I mean, they existed, but they didn't exist in the video game space
mm-hmm.
as far as consoles.
Which was cheaper to do a console at that time, especially in the 90s, compared to buying a PC and having a PC gaming, which you needed way much more.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of story, too, because it was, like... I believe it was, like, some programmers and engineers at Microsoft... more programmers, like software side of stuff, where they're like, we can put DirectX into a box mm-hmm. and sell that.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
Yeah, I was rolling with it. And so that's what they ended up doing. They put their graphical side of things that was mm-hmm. already on PC.
Which is way more expensive to...
Yeah, they were very expensive, absolutely. And they can put it into a box, and you can play video games off that.
Well, that's what I mean. And then you have to think about it, too. The PlayStation 1 and 2 were already out. They had...
Yeah, so generally two generations before...
Because they came out in 2001, and the PlayStation 1 was already by then, 6 years out.
Yeah.
And then the PlayStation 2, already fantastic and fabulous, is out for a year.
Yeah, and the big thing with the PlayStation 2 in mm-hmm. particular is that it played DVDs.
That's what I mean. So you got like a cheap-ass DVD player right there.
Exactly, and I could play games, and it was like you could play music on it. Like, it was more of an entertainment system, which is what Nintendo had branded themselves, you know, fucking 10 years prior, 15 years prior with the NES. That's why it's the Nintendo Entertainment System. Because mm-hmm. And that was a direct reaction to the video game crash of the late 70s and early 80s. Like, so...
Now we're just getting
it is funny how it all piggybacks off of one another, but at the end of the day, it does mean that Microsoft and Xbox in particular were late to the game. Like,
true.
They're going to have less games in their libraries. They're going to be less experienced in some kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just going to be, like, a handful of issues mm-hmm. there. But it also kind of plays in their corner where it might be a little easier to achieve full backwards compatibility because they only have the three generations.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And they're more closely aligned with PC architecture and software mm-hmm. engineering from the get-go. So.
And that's what I mean. It's like people need to realize when PlayStation had started, why it started, the wide range of things each different one could do mm-hmm. and the fact that it's not necessarily easy just to throw it all in the fifth generation just because technology has been advanced so much.
Yeah, I think expectations should be tempered, you know, like the more optimistic side of me says is that they fucking did it.
Yeah,
they worked it out and they like figured out how to make it
background with the pom-poms. Yeah, PlayStation 5, we did it.
You know, very like cost effective and obviously then consumer friendly because mm-hmm. now you can play any game you want on it and it is the ultimate PlayStation kind of thing. Thinking about it like technologically and like some of the hurdles they'd have to overcome and how much money you have to inject into that mm-hmm. and would everybody really use this function? So, you know,
is it worth the money?
If it's a 50-50, is it actually cost effective? You know, it's just because the vocal minority is getting really loud and really wants this. Is this actually going to translate to dollars for us or no? Well, and they are a business, so it's like...
We also have to think, too, then what's the next generation?
Yeah, if you already have a machine that ultimately plays it, but then maybe if they do it, so then it's like now you're having an iteration on, like, software and hardware that already mm-hmm. has... You're standing upon the shoulders of giants. It's already been done. So now you can manipulate what's been created to make it better.
True.
And so then you can just... That would where it would, like, slide. This would be, like, super hypothetical, but it's, like, PS5 does all this shit. All these mm-hmm. rumors are completely true. It's fully backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. And then, like, PS6 comes out, and it's like, you can't play PS2 games. Like, that would fucking shoot themselves right in the fucking foot. You would assume that they would be like, okay, no, actually, the whatever hardware aspect we took mm-hmm. on this is now cheaper to manufacture and make, or smaller. Mm-hmm. And so we can, this is just easy to put in an Xbox. Or the software solution we have is now, like, stronger, like, we worked out a lot of the bugs and kinks, you know.
Kinky bugs.
throughout the PS5's life cycle. Mm-hmm. So it'll run better. It'll look better. It'll be easier, you know, more easily attainable and mm-hmm. cheaper for the PS6. That makes sense in my head. But it's all contingent on if they actually do it.
Yeah, true.
Like, if it's worth it, and then they have, obviously, like, cost analysis, mm-hmm. like, if it's going to be worth it. And then is it actually feasibly worth it mm-hmm. right now?
Well, especially right now. Like, I can understand having, like, PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 5 Pro, and then being able to be like, oh, well, this the Pro can backwards compatible this generation now, and kind of play it off via that way, like, build up the generation. So, obviously, the more technology inclined you are, the more it'll advance, the better it'll be. So, obviously, it's easier to say maybe the PS7 will be completely backwards compatible.
Yeah, and... There is definitely, like, precedence for that, absolutely, because there are some really early model PS3s
mm-hmm.
Where you would have to spend, you know, that $700 that can play PS2 games. They can play PS1, PS2, and PS3 games. It was fully backwards compatible.
But it was
really early. It was very expensive, and the PS3 really didn't take off until they did the PS3 Slim and they dropped it down to $300.
Yeah.
And then it was like, there was so now, yeah, a stable of games because mm-hmm. it'd been out for a few years and the console was cheap,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't have the PS2 backwards compatibility built into it. You could just play PS1 games.
Yeah.
And bigger hard drives because, like, the cost of it had come down. They cut the stuff that was extraneous.
Yep.
And then you had games to play on it. And so, and eventually, like, that generation ended up with the PS3 beating the 360 in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and a lot of people don't believe me about that, but you can go look up hard numbers.
Google it.
PS3 came out a year after the 360.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft had a year heads up for sales.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, PS3 beat them.
the most difficult console.
Yeah, and Sony was like arrogant and cocky about it. It was like difficult to code for. They
mm-hmm.
had a ridiculous price point.
Mm-hmm.
Like their E3 messaging before the launch of the PS3 was like, you can get a second job to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like shit like that. It was just like arrogant
yeah.
and just like just assume that they were like King Koopa because they had PS1 and PS2
yeah, yeah.
had been so successful. And then obviously they had to like backpedal, change their like trajectory, like, you know, be on top of
mm-hmm.
marketing, PR and price points and stuff after, you know,
the
it
fact,
was too
yeah.
late
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And then they still won. So it's like, I mean, Sony does it.
Whoop-choo.
But yeah. And they have gone back, especially with the PS4 and like
yeah.
remastered games.
So Anthony, what are your predictions? Like not predictions, but like what is in that list you call them bullshit on?
Let me bring it up again real quick just so I have it from my face. I think, let's see, PS5 to be revealed in February. I think that's possible.
Plausible.
Yeah.
To be revealed, not released.
Yeah, just revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with the backwards compatibility stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most things I agree on this list, except for probably the game section,
mm-hmm.
gets me a little bit. So, like, launch games will include Gran Turismo 7, Demon's Souls Remastered, Godfall, Legends,
mm-hmm.
a new IP from Sony Santa Monica Studios. Gran Turismo 7
mm-hmm.
Used to be a system seller and had been a, like, launch title. I think
mm-hmm.
it was, like, Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec was a pack-in deal for the PS2.
Yeah.
So it's like, it automatically, like, you bought the console, you got that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people just had it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have 2 copies of it.
Probably.
And I think this rumor is harkening back to that,
mm-hmm.
when Gran Turismo used to sell consoles or
yeah.
be sold with consoles. I don't think it really has that star power anymore.
No, there's a lot more bigger games out there.
It's like, you know, if a new Pirates of the Caribbean came out and Johnny Depp's not in it, that's going to make sense to me. Because he doesn't have the star power he used to. You know, 10 years ago, yeah, he would sell Pirates.
Yep.
Like, now,
nah.
Not necessary.
Nope.
Like, damn it if you do, damn it if you don't.
Damn it, I will.
So I think that's kind of iffy. I'm like, I just think it's like harkening back. It's like grasping at like the past,
mm-hmm.
like to add credence to a rumor. Demon's Souls Remastered, I bet that's a real thing.
Really?
Yeah, I think that is something that they're going to ride the Soulsborne train, and then that studio that's
yeah.
doing, supposedly working on,
mm-hmm.
like, the best remaster they've ever done, or, like, the product they wanted to work on. I bet it's Demon's Souls.
Okay.
That I buy. Godfall, they already showed and said it was going to be a release game. Nothing new. Legends, a new IP from Sony Santa Monica Studios. That I'm, like, kind of interested about, because I'm like, what is that? Like, what would that be? So
zombies.
God of War, yeah, probably. So God of War came out, what, 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the year
yeah.
Raleigh was born. So we watched that documentary while they were making God of War after release. There was only one team.
Yep.
So in that time, they split off into 2 teams,
mm-hmm.
hired up, because you know they're working on God of War 2.
Yeah.
And are almost done. with a new IP,
yeah.
like from scratch to finish, with like that's like taking into account pre-production and post, like that seems a little unbelievable. Only 2 years?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
So I'm kind of iffy about it. I could definitely picture that studio having enough money to be able to split off into 2 teams
mm-hmm.
again and be doing God of War. But I feel like the second team, if it is working on Legends,
mm-hmm.
would be further out, not
yeah.
a launch title.
Yeah.
And that we'll see God of War 2 probably before then, depending on the scope. That's just my opinion and how I read it. That seems a little fishy, I guess, is what it comes down to.
It's not fishy.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2, I feel like that could be a thing. I feel like that might even, this is a long shot kind of guess, that could be a launch title.
That'd be a cool launch title.
They've had plenty of time. Gorilla's on the up and up. They've really scaled up. They're working on multiple projects. Like, their head honcho got moved up within the Sony hierarchy. He's taken over Shuhei Yoshida's spot.
Say that 5 times real fast.
No, that's okay. So I could picture, like, close to launch, if not a launch game, Horizon Zero Dawn 2. A little further out, but I think it'll be one of the earliest, like, early games. PlayStation exclusives we get. Is that Marvel Spider-Man sequel? Spider-Man. I don't know. They just acquired Insomniac. They are big. They can work on a lot of different things. New sci-fi IP from Naughty Dog. I could picture that. And then Final Fantasy 16, Resident Evil. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Square would.
I hope they don't.
Buy I don't think they would tease Final Fantasy 16 so early. I hope that they've like learned their kind of lesson.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we're getting, even though they've been good, we're getting a little oversaturated with Resident Evil.
Ugh. Yes.
Capcom's in this awesome renaissance and like a new golden age for them.
I do agree with you, teasing you, but too many zombies.
Yeah, and I'm just like, we got Final Fantasy 7.
People and zombies. People just like the idea of killing people. That's all it is.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But they just don't like the idea of it being a humanity. You're like, you have a soul. No, you're a dead dude trying to eat me. Now you need to die.
It does. That is a good point, actually. Zombies narratively, that's what it does. It does. It strips the humanity out of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, you can easily kill people and not feel bad about it. And it's like, well, that dude had a family before he was a zombie. You don't think about that.
Nope.
He may have eaten his kids, but he had a family.
No longer around per se, but at one point in time,
he had a family. You don't understand,
Anthony. You don't get it. No, but it's just like I get too many zombies. So many zombies.
I mean, you're right. I do like zombie games, and you know, Days Gone was like my game of the year last year for this podcast.
I'm just fucking teasing you about zombie games. I completely forgot about Days Gone, but Days Gone just it does zombies different.
I like when they do their, like, stuff different. So maybe Legends with a Z is a zombie game, and maybe it's
But could you guys just, like, Wizard Wizard, not, damn it, not Nazis.
Like
God damn.
Like a lich, almost?
Wizard? Zombies.
Yeah, like a lich.
My word's not working for that for whatever reason. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying I can't say the word.
Yeah, a lich with, like, more fantasy-oriented, like, Elder Scrolls with liches. Like, I'd be fine with that. That'd be cool.
He cast a spell on you. Now you're lunch meat.
You're lunch meat?
No, I said lunch meat.
Oh, you're lunch meat? I like that.
Lunch meat's funnier.
Yeah.
We'll pretend I said lunch meat. It's not recorded at all. It's fine.
I guess my problem with that list, save for the backwards compatibility, which you brought up and put very well, I think some of the games are very, like, rumor heavy. Like, it's relying too much on what's happened in the past. Mm-hmm. It's also, like, and the conjectures it does make is also, again, relying on what happened in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think it's rooted in any kind of, like, how I've heard rumors or other rumors from actual studios and stuff. Or
true. It's just people just flapping.
Personnel from Sony or something along those lines. It's more like, oh, this has happened in the past. I bet.
And it's It'd be cool. I like this idea.
Which is like, well, I can do that in a podcast, and I do. I was just talking about like the time frames it takes to like make
this
games.
Is like
and it doesn't line up.
This is our entire podcast right now. So we're predicting things.
Exactly. That's the problem I have with that list. It's just, some of them are like, oh yeah, that's a safe bet. And other ones
we
like,
have to think, some of them, though, too, are seconds to games. They're already, you know, either showed them or you like
Godfall and stuff. That's what I mean. It's like, okay, well, that's 100% true. We know that's a launch title.
Yeah, because it was
Sony,
shown.
And that's
Horizon
in
Zero Dawn, too.
But then, like, the Gran Turismo 7 one, where it's like, I can picture it, but I feel like you're just kind of reminiscing about PS2 days.
Yeah.
And, like, when Gran Turismo had that star power.
And I feel like
Naughty Dog doing a new IP, that makes sense in my head. They've always kind of rotated through that. They have two teams. One goes into pre-production when the other one's finishing up, which is pretty common in American studios. But and I said that, I think, on an earlier podcast.
You did, yeah.
Is that they need to come up with a new IP. They can't. And there's supposedly the other studio doing Uncharted games.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, are they going to gear up to do another Last of Us? Mm-hmm. Or would they move? And in my opinion, when I said that podcast, they should move on to a new IP,
yeah,
and make new ground with the PS5, because they didn't really have anything new for the PS4. Because Uncharted and Last of Us all started on the PS3.
That's what I mean.
So that was my kind of argument for it. So I can picture that being true. Science fiction, kind of a natural way to go. Broad strokes and terms.
Yeah. Definitely is.
But yeah, just some of them, like, hate for me, some of them feel, like, nostalgic, and some of them are just like, well, yeah, that's absolutely true. We already know that. Yeah, so exactly. I think they just kind of intermingled them all together to add credence to all of them.
True. They did, yeah.
And so I'm going to call bullshit on probably half that bullshit. List.
All right, so what are your predictions for the PS5, then?
I think, number one, that Sony is going to reveal its console in February. I think that's true.
Okay.
So reveal it. I'm excited for the February 5th date. That rumor kind of lists. And this is going to be coming out afterwards, so we'll know for sure. And if there is any information, I'll cut in and say.
Yeah, like, we'll cut in. These were like true, we did these before. Weren't.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll save this one to produce. But yeah, I think Sony is going to do a big announcement. Not like gigantic, you know, not like PSX kind of stuff that they would do. But I think they are going to do like a state of play or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Or there's going to be an announcement about the PS5. I think we're going to see what it looks like. I think we might see a price point. And maybe like a few games. I don't think they're going to talk about the what's gonna services. Be released with it. No. Yeah, like whether it's like backwards compatible or what.
I think they're going to wait to more close to launch date, because I feel like, yes, they have what it looks like. Yes, they have price point because they have the nuts and bolts in it. But I feel like them could completely reveal backwards compatibility. They're going to wait until launch date.
Yeah, it's going to be close to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, we're going to be left in kind of like, kind of a mystery for like services that the PS5 is going to provide, but I think we're going to get what the console looks like, probably the controller with it, because that just makes sense. Course. We already have the logo, which I don't, everybody kind of expected, anyways.
He's like, well, yeah, why are you bitching about the logo? It's PlayStation,
yeah. It's like, yeah, okay, well, that's easy to call, and then possibly a price point,
yeah.
Be like, here's the box, here's the controller, probably maybe like here's a longer trailer for Godfall, which is already announced. You know, it's going to be $499 in, you know, October, November, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the date is.
So those are your three predictions then for it?
That's just my one. Ah. My one is just that it's going to
be on February.
In February, we're going to have an announcement about the PS5.
Okay.
By the console itself. What about you? What's your first one?
I agree with you on that one. I think my first one, though, is they may have a game release with it, like what's going to be released with it.
Oh, there's something that we haven't heard of?
Yeah, something we haven't heard of. I feel like it's kind of like, you know.
Do you think it'll be like a first-party thing? Or do you think it'll be like, oh, like the new Assassin's Creed is going to be, you know, day one you can play it on the PS5?
Or... I think it's going to be like a first PlayStation exclusive first-party situation.
Okay. Something like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War 2 even. You never know.
Or Killzone.
Killzone
they did with the last... PS4 when that released.
Still, doesn't mean they might change it up. But still, I think that's what they're going to do. So that's my kind of prediction. So
fair enough. I think for my second one, I think it is backwards compatible, but I think it's only with the PS4. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be select titles at launch. I think they're going to cherry pick from like way far back.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do like PS1, maybe some PS2 stuff.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, hey, these like few games, like... Our top dogs in this library. Biggest. I think that announcement is going to come out after Ghost of Tsushima comes out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to wait until... So, after the summer, which is like... We just have a release window for Ghost of Tsushima right now. I think it's going to be like right before the console comes out. Like a month or two. I think it's going to be like September. I still think that the console is going to release in November. But I think that's going to be, like, the big thing. They're going to be, like, Ghost of Tsushima is going to have its, like, 4 weeks. It's going to rake in what it's going to rake in, you know, during that time frame.
Yeah.
Which is where they usually get the most amount of sales right after launch. And then it's going to... Sony's going to do, like, a state of play again or something along those lines. And be like, okay, well, maybe even Gamescom, I could picture that. If Ghost of Tsushima releases early enough in the summer. And it's going to be like, okay, well, PS4 is entirely backwards compatible with the PS5. And then they'll probably, I would imagine, show off a few games, if I'm right, from the PS1, PS2, maybe PS3, that are like, this will work too.
I think...
I think it'll be all first-party ones, by the way.
True. All their own. I feel like, with that being said, I don't think they're going to release that information until the game's about, the console's about to come out. I don't think they want to, I want them, that they're going to hype it up, like, maybe a week before release, say, oh, hey, FYI, boom, you can backward compatible all these types of games and stuff.
So you think they're going to withhold that information until, like, the last minute.
And they're just going to, like, just amp up that excitement. People are like, this is bad. So, like, oh, my God.
Like, 2 weeks before it comes out or something. 2 weeks
before it comes out. They're like, well, guess what? It also does this. And it also does this.
Sell out whatever they have manufactured in that 2 weeks. Exactly. Because everybody knows that it's, like, backwards compatible or fully backwards compatible.
Exactly. And I think they're going to hold off. They're going to hold off. That'd be interesting.
Because they, like, it's really the only time it's ever happened. So you got to take a different kind of approach, PR marketing wise. It's not going to be the same in years past.
If you're trying to get the kid in the van, you don't give him the candy. He can run away. You got to wait till he's in. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
I can picture that. Absolutely.
But I feel like people, they're going to wait. I feel like they're going to wait till the last minute to announce that it's backwards compatible, if it is.
Yeah. And then,
third prediction.
I'm going to take, like, the long shot gamble on this. I'm going to say it's fully backwards compatible. When they finally announce it.
Bullshit on that one.
I'm going to say that it's, like, completely backwards compatible.
Bullshit.
I'm not saying that it's, like, I believe it 100%. I'm just saying I'm going to take the, like, the long shot, like, prediction just to hopefully be right. And PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4, PSP, and Vita. I'm going to throw Vita in there, too.
Throw that bitch in there.
Fully backwards compatible.
No. No.
I'm going to go for it.
Bullshit on that. See, I'm saying that they'll announce that something is backwards compatible, but not the whole thing. I feel like maybe they're saving that for PlayStation 6, and that they're going to tease you a little bit, you know, going to tickle the balls. And
so let me ask you, do you think that they'll work that in throughout the PS5's life cycle?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe by the end of the PS5 towards the end, it's like, we can get everything, pretty much everything.
Pretty much almost all of it. I think by the PlayStation 6,
it'll just be built in.
Just like, bam, here you go. Yeah. Now you got all your shit.
Here's PS5 and everything back.
I just feel like they're going to continue to work on it, and by the end of the PlayStation 5 to the PlayStation 6, however long that may be, they'll be able to, like, just, boom, here you go. Here's this fucking great, backwards compatible everything, you're good to go. I just feel like with the 5, they're just going to just tickle the balls a little bit, and then, you know, get you excited, but that's about it.
Yeah. That's interesting. We'll see. We'll see who's right. If I win out at the end of this, too, like, that's going to be fantastic.
He may have a black eye. Good thing we're just recording this.
I called it.
Nailed it.
That'd be fantastic. I mean, it's definitely interesting to see, because I think you pointed out with one of your predictions, like, the marketing for it, NPR, it's going to have to be different.
Pretty spot on with the PlayStation 5 marketing, like,
yeah, I mean, they really haven't trickled anything out.
That's what I mean. They're starting to. It's like there's rumors, but then again, it's fan-based rumors, which it's going to get.
And Xbox has kind of done the same thing. I mean, they've teased a little bit more and shown a little bit more, but not much. And they've done it in unusual kind of ways. Fuck. So, yeah, I'm not.
Well, we don't play Xbox, though.
Yeah. I mean, I respect what they're doing, but it's just not anything I'm interested in. Do you know how many consoles
we have in this house, and not one of them is Microsoft?
Yeah, we don't have a single Xbox.
There's not, like,
and I only owned a 360 briefly.
There's not a single Microsoft technology in our home. At all.
No.
All of ours are Apple.
It's like, yeah, it's Apple, Sony, Nintendo, Amazon, Nintendo. Yeah. I can't think of anything that is.
All of ours not Microsoft. No, I'm just kidding.
She's Microsoft for me. Yeah, I can't think of anything. Yeah, that's why we don't do a Xbox or Microsoft podcast.
Dude, we don't have anything. And, like, for granted, y'all can.
We do, like, John and I do our more, like, generic
gaming
one. Very kind of, like, nostalgic. He is, and so that's why we debate more often on that one and have just, like,
yes, because he's got those consoles.
Yeah, and he plays PC now, mm-hmm. And I think he has, like, an Oculus for, like, VR.
Yeah.
And for, like, when we get VR, it'll be PlayStation VR.
Yep, it'll be PlayStation VR, yeah.
And, yeah, it's, like, just Nintendo and PlayStation, really, for, like, consoles and stuff. And Sega. We have all the Sega consoles.
Sega!
Not a single Microsoft one.
Aw.
Yeah. But, yeah,
but, no, I'm actually really excited for them to start bringing out, you know, the opening the closet per se for PlayStation 5. But I said, biggest prediction is them bitches is gonna be hiding something in the back. It's gonna be that one secret present that you're not gonna get until, like, 2 weeks before to release it, and then everyone's gonna fucking scramble to buy it fucking outsell it, and then they're not going to have any for, like, a couple weeks, and people are, like, just like, give it to me.
Yeah, I think Sony does have some on their sleeve. That's why I was going to gamble on, like, full backwards compatibility. Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's right. That's I'm just saying. Gamble. I'm going to gamble on that because I think... I agree with that. I feel the same kind of way. That they have something up their sleeve kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. And then why they've been kind of radio silent. Like, there's, I think, something big there that the, just people don't know about or haven't guessed. The peanut gallery's
been going, but they ain't nothing coming out from the actual crowd, so.
Yeah, and I think we'll be pleasantly surprised, whatever.
And I'm excited for it. Like, I'm super excited to get it. Probably save up for day one release in October. but, yeah.
Yeah, I think that for sure we'll have it right away. And we'll be able to get podcast with December.
I think it was December when I guessed.
Was it November? December? I thought you went early. You said October, and I said November.
I don't remember. that was many podcasts ago.
Yeah. Well, it's saved, and then when we do our 2021 predictions, we'll listen to that podcast first.
Oh, God.
I will listen to that podcast first. You and then write it down on the script there notes so we know.
There you go. I ain't doing all that.
See who will be victorious.
I'm your laziest co-host ever. I just sit pretty.
John's a lazy co-host, too. He says it all the time.
True. Very true. You do a lot of work.
I gotta, like, script it all out and produce it.
Well, we don't normally script things.
No, I started to.
Oh.
This one isn't, but this we were just talking about, like, loosely today. And plus, in, like, order release, it makes sense to do this one first than the other ones.
True.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I feel like, we have any housekeeping?
By the time you listen to this, 64 Bits of Rage will be out. We'll have two episodes out. So, if you like this podcast, but you also like the Nintendo Switch and Nintendo games and franchises, head on over and give that a listen.
Yeah.
Right now, that's only going to be on CastBox and YouTube.
Until we can expand, obviously, the horizon.
Yeah, and like I've said in earlier housekeepings on prior episodes, most podcasting services, you have to have at least 3 episodes under your belt to submit
for
validation. So by the time this releases, though, 2 of those episodes will be out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weekly podcast as well, co-hosted by Ariel and I.
What?
And it comes out instead of every Wednesday on podcast services, it's every Friday.
Yeah. Like, we obviously offset it, but.
Yeah. And on YouTube, it comes out on Mondays. This one comes out on Fridays. So.
Yeah. Offset it.
I do like a 2-3 day like gap for YouTube just because the production takes a little bit longer on there, and then it's a free platform.
You know? Yeah.
The other podcasting stuff,
we'll get
there is a little bit of like overhead, but.
It'll get there.
But yeah, as soon as we hit episode 3 of 64 Bits of Rage, and I urge you to go over and like listen to it. Mm-hmm. I think you'll enjoy it. Put a lot of heart and soul into it. You should be able to find it everywhere.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then we'll have more news about that in 64 Bits of Rage. But just to let you guys know, we have 3 ongoing podcasts. So Rage Quit, the one you're listening to now. 64 Bits Rage, which I just referenced.
Yep.
And then FGG, which is co-hosted with my friend John and I. And that's a long format podcast that comes out once a month.
Yeah, that one's a lengthy guy, but still.
Yeah, it's like 2 to 3 hours, and it releases the last Monday of every month.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for the next one, which will be about Assassin's Creed. My love of Assassin's Creed Odyssey and his hatred. I love the title of that one. It was the fucking great games. Episode 3- Assassin's Creed Odyssey versus Odyssey. I just love that little bit at the end. I was like, yeah, that's the title. I got it.
I got it.
And then, we're looking forward to, on FGG, talking about, like, yeast and Fire Emblem. That one's a little more, like, very specific and, like, into
niche, yeah.
Like, more debates and things like that.
You two debate anyways. But.
Exactly. But, yeah, we got the 3 going. So the monthly one, FGG. Rage Quit, what you're listening to, and then 64 Bits of Rage.
Come on up.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of which will be available on pretty much everything.
We're getting there.
By the end of February.
Yep, February. Keep counting.
Yeah, by the 1st of March, we should have...
Everything.
Everything, everywhere.
Everywhere. You always hear our voices.
But yeah, as far as Rage Quit's concerned, you can go and listen to it on Spotify, you can listen to it on YouTube, CastBox, iTunes, Google Play Music, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And we are still sponsored by AFK Clothing Co.
Oh, yeah.
So, which that little advert was at the beginning of this podcast. So hopefully you listened to that, liked it, and maybe head on over, support this podcast.
Yeah, support us in the podcast. ASIO.
Anything else to add, or?
Batman. No.
Batman? So no, I think that does basically everything. I don't remember.
Word vomit. No, I'm good.
All the irons in the fire.
What?
Yeah.
Spinning plates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty plates bad. Have been spun. Okay, nope, I'm good.
Cool. Well, stay tuned for...
fart.
Yeah, a little bit. next week's podcast, where we're going to be talking about one of Sony's first-party studios,
yep.
Sucker Punch. Which is right here in Washington, where we live. And we're going to talk about all things Sucker Punch. So we're going to like dive into their history, talk about their big franchises, the main creators that have been there.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of kind of tidbits about what we know about Ghost of Tsushima, their newest project. It'll be very similar to the Bioshock one we did.
Yeah,
it was about Irrational Games, Ken Levine, and Bioshock.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the same kind of format, but it's going to be Sucker Punch. So stay tuned for that.
Yep. As always, I'm Ariel Schultz.
And I'm Anthony Schultz. Bam, 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 bam. Have a good night, guys.
Bye.
Hey there, guys. This is Anthony Schultz, one half of the duo for Rage Quit. I just wanted to spend a minute or two, at most, talking about Ariel and I's other endeavors or where you can follow her and I if you're a fan of this podcast. So I'm most prolific on Twitter as far as social media is concerned. I share more... kind of gut reaction or like private experiences and opinions there. I'm at Anthony R. Schultz. Pretty easy to remember, just my name. And if you'd be so inclined, you can give me a follow, and I also drop Rage Quit links there every week and other things that Ariel and I are both working on. AS Inquisitor also streams, which is the production company that produces Rage Quit, essentially myself at the moment. And I stream 5 days a week. I'm a variety streamer, so I do a little bit of everything. Hopefully, there's something there that you would really enjoy, even if it's just one day a week. I take every Thursday and Friday off, and you can follow and or subscribe at twitch.tv/ASInquisitor. All these links that I'm mentioning will be in the description box below, and I will reiterate. Also, AS Inquisitor has a YouTube channel. So if you're not listening to this podcast via YouTube, if you're using your preferred podcast provider, this podcast does make its way to YouTube. We will eventually be recording not only our voices, but also ourselves when we do the podcast. We're just working on some equipment issues right now. But we also have past streams that I've done for AS Inquisitor that have a little bit more kind of polish or pizzazz to them. They're divided up into like better bite-sized chunks for complete game playthroughs or Let's Plays. There's also a lot of unique content there. I record things throughout the week as I play games, just kind of funny moments or... maybe even like personal achievements, things of that nature. And so you can search for AS Inquisitor on YouTube. And again, the link will be in the description below. But those are my three kind of primary platforms that you can find me on. So that's Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Ariel actually has her own YouTube channel called Painting with LM Schultz. She's a very talented painter. She has her fine arts degree and enjoys painting for, cathartic reasons, as well as to improve on her, like, technical prowess. So she started her own YouTube channel to improve on her techniques, as well as show people kind of some basics or things that you can do painting-wise. There's also some other kind of crafty do-it-yourself kind of ideas and videos on there as well that pertain a little bit more personally to her and I because they usually involve our family. You know, it's a family project that she's working on. For example, she did our son's Halloween costume. And so she walked through how she constructed and created, you know, the costume and how you could do something similar for your kiddos at home. And then finally, you can follow Ariel on Twitter as well. She is primarily on Twitter, just like myself. We don't really indulge in too many other social media platforms, save for maybe Instagram. I don't think we're as active on there. Ariel might be, more so than myself. But you can follow her at @merhobbit and give her a follow as well. And that's my lovely co-host and beautiful wife, Ariel. But anyways, I just wanted to stop in and kind of throw some links your way. And if you were curious about what AS Inquisitor was doing and what how Rage Quit kind of fit into that ecosystem, there it is. Yeah, got all the links for you. If you're interested in any one of those, all of those links are going to be in the description box below, and they're going to be in every podcast episode now. So I'm not sure if they're entirely there right now, but I'm going to be doing a fresh write-up and make sure and have all of those included for you. So just click a link or copy and paste and head on over if any of those strike your fancy. But anyways, thanks for enjoying the show. Really appreciate it. We'll be back next week for more rage quittiness. And as always, follow the bear. And have a good evening, guys.